Hey, thanks for checking in for this episode of the Lake Effect Podcast. My name is James Prophet, and today we're traveling to Huron, about an hour east of Toledo, to see Scudder Mackey. He's the chief of the Ohio Department of Natural Resources Office of Coastal Management. Mackey oversees a number of programs that, you guessed it, help manage Ohio's Lake Erie coastline. There are about 316 miles of lakeshore on the state's north coast. Were you a naturalist when you were a kid? Did you have an interest? Did you play in the woods? I mean, like, what, your childhood, how did you end up becoming interested in this kind of stuff?
Well, I've always had enjoyed the outdoors, originally from upstate New York, and moved around and lived in many places. I spent my summers along the coast of New England and New Hampshire.
Nice.
And so I got used to sand and beaches and waves and doing a lot of it. Activity and having a lot of fun in the water. Love boats, just love boats.
Are you a sailboater or what do you?
I do sailboats. I like power boats. I think anything that floats on water, including a log, I'm okay with.
Is most of the work that you do in the proximity to where the water meets the land?
Yes, that is correct. Yeah. We work primarily in what they call the coastal zone, which is
how big is that?
The coastal zone, it depends on where you are along the coastline, but it usually goes inshore perhaps a mile or so.
Okay.
And then it will go up a number of the larger rivers, such as the Cuyahoga River and the Maumee River, where you have some lake influence. The Ohio Coastal Management Program manages the Ohio Lake Erie shoreline. We offer technical advice and guidance to coastal property owners who may be having erosion or flooding problems. We have several coastal engineers on staff. We also have regulatory authority along the coast. We issue shore structure permits and submerged lands leases along the coast. And primarily to protect property and infrastructure, we want to protect public health and safety. And we also try to protect Lake Erie water quality and the habitats that support the fish and wildlife that we all enjoy.
I've been up here, I've been in Marblehead 15 years, same place, right on East Harbor. And every year the water blows, well, local people just say the water's blowing in or it's blowing out. Is it in the media now because of climate change, or why is the water moving back and forth seem to be a big story in the news now?
Yeah, I'm not sure why it's big news now. The seshes have been part of Lake Erie ever since Lake Erie's been in existence.
Right.
In fact, there's some document for sesh events, prior to human existence here, to living here, when the ice sheet was just to the north side of the lake. You have a large body of water. You have strong winds that act across the surface, and it tilts the water surface. It pushes it to one side or the other. The thing to remember that for Lake Erie is a great lake. It has sort of a northeast-southwest orientation. It's a long lake, okay? So when you have strong winds out of the southwest, what it does is pushes the water preferentially to one side of the lake, toward Buffalo. And when that happens, it tilts the water surface. And so the water levels drop in Toledo, and they will go up in Buffalo. And conversely, a lot of times in the spring or summer, we'll have nor'easters that come through. And those winds come out of the northeast, and they will push waters toward the southwest, down toward Toledo, so the water levels drop in Buffalo, but they come up in Toledo. And those are sesh events.
Right.
They are wind-driven events, and the analogy is to think of like a long bathtub. And if you were to pick up the bathtub and set it down, you would get the water. It sort of oscillates back and forth from one end of the tub to the other, and that's what happens in Lake Erie.
Should people worry about it, or is it a case where there's really nothing anybody can do about it? The water's going to come up and go down.
Well, there's not much we can do about it. It's a natural phenomena. It's been going on, since Lake Erie's been in existence. I think there is a climate factor here. We need to think about the gradual loss of ice cover over the last 50 years. What's interesting now is that the sesh event, the one we just had on January 13th, and then the one we had last year, I think it was in late December of 2022, that those events occurred in the winter months. And I think historically, we didn't have many sesh events in the winter months because we had ice cover.
Right.
We'd have 20, 30, 40% ice cover on the lake. NOAA, in their more recent news release, as effective January 1st, said it was less than 1% ice cover, right, which means it's all open water. So when you have these strong winter storms that come through, they act across the surface of the lake and they cause these major tilts on the water surface of the lake, and which can increase in some places the potential for flooding and erosion. And in other areas, it draws the water down and exposes large portions of the lake bed and along the shore.
At the channel leading from East Harbor to the lake, which is a rather narrow channel.
Yes.
And I want to say East Harbor might be 600-700 acres. During those events in the past, I've seen the water. It almost looks like whitewater rapids.
Very strong currents will occur through those narrow channels. When you have water levels rising very quickly in Lake Erie, they will flow. You'll have a flow reversal, and they will flow into those more enclosed, sort of smaller basins like East Harbor. Right here is a plot from the storm we had in December of 2022, winter or two ago. And you can see that the water levels here, in fact, the tilt in the water surface between Buffalo and Toledo is 18 feet. There was an 18-foot difference in elevation between the water level in Toledo and the water level in Buffalo.
So 9 low in Toledo, 9 high in...
Roughly, no, yes.
While Scudder and his staff are involved in many consulting projects with homeowners, contractors, and businesses, they also are involved in wildlife projects.
We are looking at a number of our coastal wetlands in Sandusky Bay, but also further up in East Harbor. And where some of those wetlands are connected to the lake, that shallow water areas in those wetlands are northern pike spawning habitat. The question is, the timing and the magnitude of these sesh events could adversely impact the reproduction of northern pike. What happens if you have a sesh event where you have a strong southwest wind, the water draws down, the water comes out of the wetland, and all those eggs become desiccated and they right. die. And that's so you're not going to have much in the way of any reproduction. So there, we've been working with some of our fisheries people to explore ways, how can we design or modify some of the existing wetlands such that allows the water to move in and out of the wetland, but also retain water in those critical areas.
You're talking about
so
gates?
That you can maintain, yeah, well, not necessarily gates, but you could construct a low sill, which would, like a pool where you would drain some of the water, but you'd still have enough water left behind
right.
so that the eggs would survive, remain viable, and then the water levels would come back up over again.
In an ironic twist, is it the case that your parking lot was often flooded?
Yes. Thank you for reminding me of that. I talked about the high water levels we had in 2019 and 2020. One of the reasons that we did leave that office was that during some of these minor sesh events, and that we would have up to a foot and a half of water in our parking lot. We have state equipment and vehicles parked there, and we had two blue trash dumpsters in the back, and if they didn't have trash in them, the dumpsters would float around the parking lot. And so it basically made the parking lot unusable. And so we had to park up in the city lot. And, having that continual flooding problem, and it also came up to the base of the building, and we had some issues inside the building, we decided we need to move to a location. Thus, we went further inland.
Scott, are you telling me that Lake Erie ran you guys out of the office?
I would say that, yeah.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your time today. We'll see you somewhere around Lake Erie. Thanks for joining me today for this episode of the Lake Effect Podcast. I'm your host and producer, James Proffitt. Executive producer is Chris Pfeiffer. If you have questions or want to learn more about Lake Effect, visit wgte.org/lakeeffect. Until then, I'll see you somewhere around the lake.
WGTE. Voices around us.
WGTE is supported in part by the American Rescue Plan Act funds, allocated by the City of Toledo and the Lucas County Commissioners, and administered by the Arts Commission.